As you see our scripture lesson again, I don't know, this is about week number 6 or 7, I think. We've been trying to pull the references of scripture about the end times together into some kind of understandable whole. I think we got one more Sunday night of this, and then I'll take a break from it and then try to compile it all and just do one message on the salient points that we've been looking at. Tonight I want to take you to a couple of passages. One is in Joel, which describes a passage which I think is misunderstood by a lot of pastors, and it's got nothing to do with what they seem to say it does. And then go to Matthew 25, then to Ezekiel about what I think is a description of what it will be like in Israel during the millennium, and then finally the Great White Throne. So that's jumping around a bit, but that's kind of what we've been doing. So let's start with Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. You may have been to an evangelical crusade or meeting where the valley of decision has been lifted out of the Bible by some who think this is the time to make a decision for Christ. This valley of decision here is Armageddon. This valley of decision here is where God's going to be making some decisions, and they're not going to be fun. These are going to be for the nations that have been gathered together for that particular judgment. We've been looking at Armageddon and a lot about that in the last couple of weeks, but not last week. So let me read 3:14. I'm just trying to set the table here again so that when we're done in a few minutes, we have a few more pieces of furniture to look at. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And you can see that the words prior to this and following it have to do with judgment of the nations. Just wanted you to know that's there. Then we go to Matthew 25, well-known passage about sheep and goats and judgment that is based on those who, how they treat the church. I forget what night I said this, but the judgment's not going to be quick. There are a lot of judgments. We've seen at least 7 of them. It's going to take quite a while. I know I'm not limiting God by time, but the judgment of the nations, there's the judgment seat of Christ where Christians are rewarded. There's a special judgment upon those who have mistreated Christians. There's a judgment upon the Antichrist and the false prophet, one on Satan, one on the nations in the Battle of Armageddon. There's a lot of them. Matthew 25 is a passage where those who have treated the brethren of Christ poorly are facing that as well. Begin reading at verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. The throne of Jesus Christ is a throne of judgment. He's not there now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. When he sits on his own throne, this is going to be also a picture of the great white throne we'll look at shortly. This is a time of judgment. He's not sitting down to have a meal. He's not sitting down to teach. He's sitting down to judge. 32. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll separate the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And now he goes into a separate line of teaching and reward for them. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you drink? When did we ever see you a stranger, and invite you in, or naked, and clothe you? When did we see you sick, or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least brothers of mine, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left. Now, I want to interrupt my comment just briefly to remind you. He's talking to nations, not individuals here. He answered the disciples a moment ago, but he has the nation separated now, right to left. And he's looking to those on the left now, nations, and saying, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Why? "I was hungry. You gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger. You did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" And then he will say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's a kind of a mix here. There are many who take this passage as, oh, see, this is, you know, the lie of works righteousness. If you do good things for people, let alone Christians, you'll be rewarded, and if you don't, you're punished. This is a judgment of the nations. This is not an individual judgment here. Now let's go to Ezekiel 20. There's a lot that's been taught about the millennium, and probably a lot that should not have been taught about the millennium. I'm no expert on the millennium. I do remember, I've told you many times, when I was at Princeton, Dr. Metzger said, the one thing you must be is pro-millennial because it's in the Bible. So you can't be anti-millennial because no matter how you interpret it, it is in the Bible. So you got to do something with it. And to just eject it out of hand because you don't understand it, that's not allowed. So we're not going to do that. There is a time the Bible has talked about God calling Israel back to its land. It's been happening visibly since 1948. The passage I'm going to read for you now from Ezekiel 20 seems to describe a special time in the future when this will happen, when those who inhabit the land will know that their forefathers had rejected the Messiah, and they are now believing in him and enjoying the fruits of what that means. The reason I believe that this is the millennium is because of what Romans 10 and 11 teach us that we looked at a few weeks ago as well, where Paul says a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the age of the Gentiles is complete. So we know that God has set aside Israel right now as a hardened people. At the end of the Gentile age, he will warm those people. In other words, there will be a time in the future when those who have gathered into Palestine will be suddenly brought to a knowledge of God, and they will love him and serve him, which will bring, of course, the attack of those forces we've been studying from all points of the compass, the Russians from the north, the great horde of a 200 million army from the east, the Antichrist from the west, and Egypt from the south, all four points of the compass, and we've seen the scriptures on those. So let me read these verses, Ezekiel 20, 33 to 44. Ezekiel 20, 33 to 44. "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out, I shall be king over you. And I shall bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. I shall bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I shall enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord God. I shall make you pass under the rod, and I shall bring you into the bond of the covenant. I shall purge you from you, the rebels, and those who transgress against me, and I shall bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they will not enter the land of Israel. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve every one his idols, but later you will surely listen to me, and my holy name you will profane no longer with your gifts and with your idols." See, that's a transitional verse because Ezekiel is talking to the Israelites of the day who are being chastised for their idolatry, but then hooking it to the future when that will be absent from their life. Verse 40. "For on my holy mountain, on the high mountain of Israel, declares the Lord God, There the whole house of Israel, all of them, will serve me in the land. There I shall accept them. There I shall seek your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with your holy things. As a soothing aroma I shall accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you were scattered, and I shall prove myself holy among you in the sight of all the nations. And you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land which I swore to give to your forefathers. And there you will remember your ways and all your deeds with which you have defiled yourselves, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for all the evil things that you have done. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your evil ways or according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. This is a unique statement by God, who is going to reestablish his covenant with Israel and speaks tenderly to them after there's been an adjudication of all of their former sins. Do I understand all that? No. Barnhouse told a story way back about trying to illustrate what it would be like during the millennial kingdom for those who are not God's people on the earth. It was about a story about a man who went down to the ferry terminal, and there were two ferries about to leave. And as they were pulling out, he quick jumped on the ferry that he thought was his. This was a group of his friends, he thought, that were heading over to New Jersey to go to the racetrack and spend time spending money on horse races that day. This kind of dates the story, because I can think of a lot worse things you could do than go to a horse race. Anyway, in his haste, he jumps on the wrong ferry. And suddenly he realizes a lot of children around. He sees people with Bibles and so forth. He goes up to the captain and he says, "You got to turn this boat around. I should be on the other ferry. What's the story here?" He says, "Oh, this is an accumulation of all the Methodist churches in our area. It's a Sunday school picnic. We're going out into an island in the middle of the harbor there for the day, and we won't be back till supper time." And Barnhouse used this as an example of the frustration of what it will be like for the wicked to be living on earth during the millennium. It's going to be a Sunday school picnic, and they will have nothing to do to further corrupt themselves. Finally, Revelation 20, which is the judgment of the great white throne, and then I'm going to make some final comments next Sunday night, and then we'll be done. The judgment of the great white throne is not a place where you want to be or will be. You and I have already been judged in Christ, you know that. And those who are outside of Christ, outside of redemption, outside of his elective purposes, are left to answer to God for their works. And all of their works are written in the books which are mentioned here. Revelation 20, 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, but no place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." That is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So you see, the judgment here is based on two things. A, your name not found in the book of life, which means you are not one of the elect of God. Secondly, your deeds determine the level of your punishment. May God add his blessing to this scattered reading of his holy word.